Welcome to Mondays with the Mayor, hosted by Santa Rosa Mayor Chris Rogers.
Well, good afternoon and welcome to this week's Mondays with the Mayor. My name is Chris Rogers. I'm the mayor of the city of Santa Rosa. And with me, as always, is Michelle Marquez. Michelle,
hello.
How are you?
I'm good.
Well, for those of you who are just joining us for the first time, this is our every other week segment where we get a chance to take a deep dive into policy that's happening around Sonoma County. Some of the bigger ticket items that maybe you don't hear day in and day out, but that I know are of importance to folks in and out of our neighborhoods.
Exactly. And this also is sort of a continuation of another thing that you've started since becoming mayor is your other Mondays with the mayor. Tell me a little bit about that, too.
Yeah, it is in the off weeks from KSRO.
Okay.
We do a neighborhood Zoom meeting.
Oh, that's fun.
To discuss whatever folks have in front of them, whatever their questions are about what's happening around the city or around the county. And some of the bigger issues that are coming up that they should be paying attention to.
Okay, great. And people can find out how to join you on those Zoom calls on your Facebook page. Is that the best one?
Yep, that's okay. Right, Michelle.
All right, so let's take it away. Who are we talking to today?
So today, graciously joining us is Suzanne Smith. Suzanne is the executive director for the Sonoma County Transportation Authority, as well as the Regional Climate Protection Authority. So Suzanne, welcome.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah. One of the big issues around the county, and we'll see it when we talk a little bit more about regional goals and goal planning, and Santa Rosa just had ours this last week, is how we work together to address climate change. So I'm hoping you can start off by just giving us a little bit of context about what SCTA and RCPA do.
Sure, I'd be happy to. So we're a local government agency, and we have a board of directors that's made up of all of the cities and the counties. So I've got 12 elected officials that get together monthly to address long-range planning, funding, and project delivery issues on both the transportation side and on climate change. So it's really an opportunity to sort of break out of those silos of just a small city or a big city or the county unincorporated, where we can all get together and talk about issues in common and try and resolve problems or develop projects or implement priorities across jurisdictional boundaries. Because frankly, not everyone knows exactly if they're in a certain district or if they're in a certain city or county, how they operate differently or similarly. So we try to bring all those together from a planning and a funding perspective.
And a very visible example of that would be the 101 expansion that hopefully is wrapping up, right?
Yeah, that's kind of the legacy project of the transportation side of the house. Have been working on that for 20 years now. But again, it goes through multiple jurisdictions. It's owned and operated by Caltrans, but it really affects local people who live here. And so we play that role trying to communicate with folks about what's going on, make sure that the money is spent properly, things like that.
Yeah. Well, so earlier this year, the Regional Climate Protection Authority got together and actually passed a climate mobilization strategy that is a guiding document for each of the jurisdictions on how to better address climate change going up. And I'm hoping you can just sort of set the stage for us here in Sonoma County. What do our greenhouse gas emissions look like? And do we see any trends that have already started to emerge from this work at RCPA? And what should we look forward to coming up?
So climate change is definitely, without a doubt, the biggest issue that I think we are all facing on this planet. And so a lot of times you got to think about it in context, right? So you've got global issues around this, but you still need local action. And so we definitely need state policies and federal policies, but there is definitely work to be done here locally. In the case of Sonoma County as a whole, the bulk of our greenhouse gas emissions come from transportation. That's part of why we've merged these two issues of the Transportation Authority and the climate protection side, because the biggest problem, about 60% of emissions come from transportation. The next biggest is from buildings, so whether it's commercial properties or your house, the efficiency of those buildings in terms of their energy use, and the mix of what type of energy they use drives greenhouse gas emissions. You've also got solid waste and wastewater and livestock and some other factors that are smaller chunks of the equation, but really transportation and buildings are big. And then there's like a separate part of the science, which is called sequestration, and that's where you try to capture and secure carbon within either the ground or plants. And that's going to be an important factor as well. So there's the mitigation side and the sequestration side.
And obviously, it's been a big priority here in Sonoma County, where we are a little bit more environmentally conscious. Santa Rosa has a goal of being carbon neutral by 2030. I know Petaluma just did that as well. Pretty much every city in the county has a goal of being carbon neutral or some variation of that phrasing by 2030. And in fact, I think the last one to come on board now with the new city council is Runner Park, who I think this week is expected to pass a similar goal as well.
That's correct. And this is a follow-on to some actions that the jurisdictions all took earlier, either in 2020 or late 2019, where they adopted climate emergency resolutions, really highlighting and prioritizing the need to address climate change in our local communities.
So, for example, when we see that transportation is 60% of the total greenhouse gas emissions, and we'll talk a little bit later about the impact of COVID, does that mean that we target most of our resources at the biggest chunk, or are we really trying to find the most feasible path forward when we talk about buildings or livestock?
It's really putting together a puzzle and figuring out who has responsibilities for what and what you can accomplish in varying roles, right? So there's individual responsibility for sure. If you can buy an electric vehicle, for example, you can do that. If you can take the bus, that's an option. So if you ride your bike, and we've seen a big uptick in cycling and walking because traffic has been down a little bit and people are more willing to get out there where they feel safe cycling and walking. So if there are personal choices you can take, that's a big part of the equation. But then there's policy making as well that help encourage behaviors. And so at a local level, for example, Sonoma Clean Power have offered a couple of incentives over the last number of years related to purchasing electric vehicles or free vehicle charging for your home. The other part is, should government should be out there providing infrastructure for EV charging so people feel secure that they can travel longer distances and not be stuck. So you get rid of that range anxiety factor. But there are definitely other policies. Land use policy drives a lot of transportation. And so some of the work Santa Rosa is doing now to encourage higher density development in the downtown core means fewer needs for car trips if you can walk to your place of employment or to the laundromat or to a restaurant, whatever the case may be. So the levels of policymaking are critical in addition to just sort of personal knowledge and behavior around climate.
So let's go ahead. We're going to take a quick break here. And then when we come back, let's get into specifically what the four pillars that we have for the climate mobilization strategy that our CPA has passed, because I think you've touched on a couple of them, and we can get into it a little bit deeper after the break.
Are you looking for fun things to do outside? Sonoma County has many miles of bike paths from city to country to coast. Well, here's a new way to enjoy them.
Try the most comfortable and user-friendly electric bikes on earth. Pedego Electric Bikes. They deliver fun, exercise, and a green alternative for transportation.
Their high-quality, innovative pedal or knot models include cruisers, tandems, commuters, mountain bikes, and a convenient folding bike.
The twist-and-go throttle gives riders instant manual control over their speeds while the pedal assist automatically adds power to their pedaling.
This is Colin here from Pedego Electric Bikes, offering you a free one-hour test ride so you can experience the fun of an e-bike yourself. We have 19 on- and off-road models in stock today. Call, ask for me, Colin.
Offering rentals, tours, sales, and service of Pedego Electric Bikes. Tell your smartphone to go to Pedego Santa Rosa. Plan your next adventure. Where will you go? Pedego.
Riding around.
I'm fire survivor and local attorney Roy Miller with news on the Kincaid Fire. CAL FIRE has reported that after a very meticulous and thorough investigation, they have determined that the Kincaid Fire was caused by electrical transmission lines owned and operated by PG&E. PG&E did de-energize distribution lines in the area, but not transmission lines. If you or a neighbor lost a home, trees, or crops in the Kincade Fire, call our local law firm at 575-1040. That's 575-1040. We have helped thousands of fire survivors and have been in Sonoma County for over 60 years. Our entire staff was raised here in Sonoma County, so for us it's personal. If you lost property in the Kincade Fire, call us at 575-1040 or go to firejustice.com for more information.
Roy Miller is the attorney responsible for this ad.
I'm giving Jeb's basement renovations one star. He kept asking me what's behind the walls down there. I'm like, why? What do you know?
No matter how hard you work for your small business, online reviewers will find something to complain about.
And then he's like, you can trust me with the job. And I'm all like, trust?
And while Progressive can't save you from these trolls, we can help you save money on commercial, auto, and business insurance.
Yeah, he charged me less than he said he would, which is lying.
Get a quote online today at ProgressiveCommercial.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliated and third-party insurers.
Welcome back to Mondays with the Mayor with Chris Rogers on KSRO. And now, here's Chris.
All right, and welcome back, Suzanne. So where we left off, we were talking a little bit about the climate mobilization strategy that RCPA passed. And there's four pillars to the plan. There's decarbonization, carbon sequestration, which you already mentioned, resiliency and adaptation, and then equity. I think really what would be helpful for listeners is if we focused today on decarbonization, since we could obviously talk about each of these for a long time. But decarbonization is really where the rubber is going to meet the road, especially when we look at the goals from jurisdictions that don't say don't use any carbon, but they say be carbon neutral. And as you mentioned, that requires both a reduction as well as the sequestration side.
Yep, that's correct.
So let's talk a little bit about the goals around our housing stock and our energy retrofits.
So the way you save energy with buildings or you reduce your emissions with buildings is twofold. You can retrofit your home so that you've got better insulation, you've got your air ducts that carry your heat or your air conditioning are sealed so there's no leaks, you have good windows. There are water conservation measures that actually help with energy as well. And so we aspire to retrofit 25% of buildings by 2030. That's a lot. There's no question about it. But it is not only, and there are costs associated with it. No question about that. But there are a lot of tools out there that people can use to reduce the costs. We have several programs that run through our agency that will allow like a home energy advisor to come out to your house, do an assessment, identify for you the key steps you can take to upgrade your home, and then you can make some decisions based on perhaps incentives that are available through these programs, what cost profile meets your budget. That's the cost side. The benefit side, though, is not just a reduced energy bill and reduce GHG emissions. There's greater home comfort. There's often better air quality within your home. So there are really some co-benefits associated with improving your energy use within the built environment.
And Sonoma County's been fairly successful at this. Since 1990, we've seen a 37% reduction in the greenhouse gas usage from our building stock.
Yes, it's definitely our biggest success story on the climate front, and that has to do with that building efficiency, plus the portfolio of energy that we use is far more renewable now than it was, say, 5 years ago. And we have Sonoma Clean Power to thank for that, because they buy, they have long-term contracts for renewable energy at a much higher level than, say, PG&E or other independently owned operators. So that's the reason for that great decline in GHG from the energy sector.
And to your point, Santa Rosa just last year switched over to Evergreen with Sonoma Clean Power for our municipal buildings. So rather than investing the cost to make them fully retrofitted, which we did some of, we bought our energy different so that they're 100% renewable energy instead. Let's talk a little bit about where we've been struggling in our county, and that's on-road transportation. And we mentioned that it currently makes up 60% of the greenhouse gas emissions. That actually has gone up year over year, pandemic aside. So can you talk a little bit about the Drive Less campaign and some of the other programs that RCPA is pushing to help out with that number?
Sure. It is definitely the hardest nut to crack. And a lot of that is because GHG emissions are based on vehicle miles traveled. That's sort of the technical term for how much do you drive every day. And the more people feel they need to drive every day, or that they literally have to drive every day, the more those GHG emissions go up. So, you know, what's interesting, though, about Sonoma County is we don't have a massive out commute. Like, we, even pre-COVID, most of our folks who live in Sonoma County work in Sonoma County. There's about a 15% out commute that goes to Marin primarily and some to San Francisco or the East Bay. But there's also just a ton of local trips that we make. So, you know, in Santa Rosa, the average trip length is about 5 miles. That's not very far, but we get in our car, we drive it, then we drive 5 miles back to wherever we were, or we drive to multiple locations. So getting people to think a little bit differently about the trips they take and whether they can do them in some other fashion is one of the pillars of the Drive Less campaign. That, and we're really looking at how transit can come back from COVID, which is kind of getting into, I think, maybe our next topic, but a little bit. But, you know, COVID hit, almost a year ago, and you saw a huge drop in vehicles on the road. And that was great for greenhouse gas emissions. And it really kind of proved that people can stop driving. It was a pretty dramatic reason to not drive. But nonetheless, you saw that big drop. Things have started to creep up. And you're definitely seeing more traffic on the roads now. And one of the problems is people aren't coming back to transit as much as they were taking transit prior to the pandemic. Our bus service is extraordinarily safe. Smart Train, very safe. They are diligent as all heck about keeping those vehicles clean. But getting people to think more about how they can take trips differently, including riding the bus, is kind of our challenge coming out of the pandemic.
Well, and I know that you're helping lead a discussion about the future of public transit here in Sonoma County, hoping to boomerang out of the pandemic with a more user-friendly system.
Exactly. The working theory, and this is still very much in development, but the working theory is we have a lot. We actually have 5 transit operators in Sonoma County. That's kind of a lot. So how do we make that experience, if you need to go from Santa Rosa to Petaluma, how do we make that seamless so you're not taking multiple buses or having to take the train and then a bus and then another operator? So the seamless mobility concept is one that we're very interested in deploying as we come out of the pandemic. The other part of it is new technologies and how, in a community like ours, which is pretty large geographically in Sonoma County, but how can we use new tools like perhaps on-demand transit service? They've done a pilot project over in Napa that I think we can learn from. And so for maybe more rural areas where you're never going to have 10 minutes, every 10 minutes there's a bus, but maybe you have sort of an on-demand system where you can aggregate some trips and have it more user-friendly so that the people aren't waiting 45 minutes for a bus. They know when they can get one.
Yeah, and of course, we've talked about this quite frequently, is you've got your first and last mile issue as well with public transit, which is, even if you are really good at getting close to your destination, it doesn't beat the convenience of driving literally right up to the building. Yeah. And I think that that's why this community supported the extension Measure DD for transportation, which included with it a tripling the investment in bicycle and pedestrian crossings.
Exactly. The bike and pedestrian access related to transit is super important. And so being sure people can get their bikes on the bus or on the train and then be able to ride them. Or we're also hoping to roll out this summer a bike share program along the smart corridor. So that would allow people who maybe don't want to bring their own personal bike or don't have one, for a low cost, to be able to use the bike share. You see it in a lot of major urban areas. This is a pilot program that we're doing with Marin County and with Smart, so that there will be, and they're electric, so electric bike share options in the jurisdictions where there's currently Smart service.
Yeah, and a quick shout out to the Sonoma County Bicycle Coalition, who have launched a Bike to It challenge. Sarah and I actually just signed up for it over the weekend. And to the point, a third of all trips that are taken in Sonoma County are fewer than 2 miles. And so the commitment is, if it's less than 2 miles for you to travel, you bike or you walk to it.
We have the benefit of living in a pretty temperate climate, and it's fairly flat, but even with e-bikes, you can go up some pretty steep hills. So I think the options are really great, and the Bike Coalition's been a huge ally on the transportation side when it comes to talking about climate change and getting folks to think about driving less.
Yeah, and I think that where the rubber really meets the road, too, is making sure that you have that infrastructure that allows people to feel safe when they have other options. So that's a commitment that Sonoma County has made and needs to continue to make in Vision Zero, for example, this idea of creating a bicycle network that results in zero deaths as related to accidents with automobiles.
Yep. You know, you mentioned the sales tax measure that voters approved by 70%. Thank you, Sonoma County voters, that's dedicated to transportation. We are also pursuing a grant right now with Caltrans to update our bike and pedestrian plan countywide. So we'll have a very modern active transportation plan so that when those sales tax dollars start rolling in, we'll have a good plan that makes a lot of sense community-wide for folks to see how they can get from point A to B safely.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And then obviously one of the things that we have been very strong on is that EV charging infrastructure network that we talked about, and both reducing trips but also changing the way that those trips occur.
Right. And, you know, the state has put out some mandates or, you know, some executive orders around banning the sale of new gas-powered cars. And you're seeing the automobile industry follow up on that as well. You know, with Ford saying they're, you know, going to stop making gas-powered vehicles by date certain. California's driven that conversation. And I think it's paying off, and it's going to pay off. But a key factor there, though, is equitable access to EVs, because there are lower cost models, but they're still buying a new car for the most part, and that can be cost prohibitive. So growing sort of the used car market as people have leased vehicles and turned them back in, providing perhaps additional incentives for those used vehicles, and developing ways to deploy EV charging in multifamily homes or, you know, workplaces so that people feel secure that they can A, afford it, and B, get it charged effectively and efficiently.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Suzanne. I know that there's so much we can talk about on this topic, and we only really got to touch on one of the four pillars that the climate mobilization strategy is going to rely on. So hopefully we can continue that conversation in the near future as well. Big shout out to Pedego for sponsoring today's show. As you mentioned, there's been a huge uptick in folks using electric bicycles, and I can't wait to ride one across the Bike 101 bridge once we finally get that constructed. Michelle, any last thoughts?
I do want to ask, I'm not sure whether you can answer this or not, but how often do you look at, say, the bus schedule and review and maybe extend the hours so that, you know, those early morning and late shift people can take the bus or add additional like buses along that route, mm-hmm. so the pickup times are more often? How often do you evaluate that?
So it really depends is a very broad answer, sorry. Mm-hmm. But it's actually pretty frequently. And then over like maybe every 5 or more years, there's a kind of revamp of the system. And okay. I will say COVID is definitely causing a revamp because the bus operators have had to cut service.
Yeah, I understand that now.
And so then it's a question of how do you build it back? Do you build it back exactly as it was? Or right. are there things that you've now learned through this process that mm-hmm. we can adjust, whether it's some longer hours or longer hours on weekends, or do you add more frequent routes during certain parts of the day? So that's part of what we're going to be exploring as part of the future of transit planning we're doing right now.
Okay. And then you also talked about that cooperation between the 5 different transit operators here. Would that be sort of making it easier to read a traffic or read the schedules?
That's exactly right. The idea is to really unify the schedules, have them appear as one schedule,
right.
Maybe even wrap all the buses so they look the same, okay. as opposed to being like, wait, is that mine? Oh, no, that's not. Is that one? You know, I do think there's definitely a lot of work to do. We're on the ground floor of this exploration, yeah. but there's a lot of willing partners out there who want to make sure that we sort of take advantage of this terrible situation we've been in and come back better.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Idea is, as a writer, it should all look the same to
right.
me.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Make it as easy as possible. And we do know from survey results that 69% of the people who were studied said that they didn't take public transit because it takes too much time. So how do we fix that gap for folks as well?
Right. It's a good conversation to keep having. Thanks so much, Mayor.
And we will keep having it for sure as things move forward. Thank you again, Suzanne and Michelle. And for folks listening in, we'll keep talking about this, and we'll see you in a couple weeks.